Well, first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, I am delighted to introduce a gentleman who specializes in helping people like speakers and from other professions get the word out through the medium of a book. He is the president of an organization called Right Choice. Welcome to the show, Tim Morrison.
Well, thank you very much, Stone. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. Tell us a little bit about Right Choice and what you're out there doing for folks.
Right Choice Services has a fascinating history from my perspective because it was founded by Janet Litherland about 15 years ago. She was my high school chorus teacher a long time ago. And we joke about that when we're out in public together. But I went to work for her as an independent contractor. And then when she chose to retire, I purchased the company. And what we do, our primary focus is helping people write the book that they have always wanted to write. You know, you as a speaker have been in gatherings where you hear people talk and they have everybody mesmerized. It might be after church, after any kind of group. And when you're done, somebody says to the person, "You ought to write a book."
Yeah, and you hear that a lot.
And that person says, "I think I will someday." Well, I'm there someday. I help them find that book and get it written.
So what is the biggest obstacle in your experience to taking that first step, to taking that first step to writing a book?
From my perspective and the work that I do with my clients, the biggest problem is what to write about. It's either people come with a whole lot of ideas and aren't sure which is the one to write about, or they just can't quite get focused on what it is to write. You know, there are a lot of books out there on how to write. And I know there are because I looked at them. But very, very few, if any at all, talk about how do you find that topic? How do you zero in on that topic that you want to write about or that would be best for you to write about?
So let's say I want to write about leadership. Yeah, one of the things that concerns me, I feel like I know some things about leadership because early in my career, I was put in a situation to watch leaders facilitate leadership development material to each other. Mm-hmm. And so I got to hear a lot. So I feel like, hey, I've got some things to say about leadership, but is it shopworn? Is it something that's been written about so much that there's no sense in writing about it?
Well, in one sense, you're right. But you can do a research on any topic. Go to Amazon.com, BooksAMillion.com, BarnesandNoble.com, go into the bookstores and look, and you're going to see shelf after shelf of books. But that's been true for centuries. The key is, what do you bring to the topic? What is your insight about leadership? What sets you apart? What makes it work for you? And that's what you write about.
And do you have to have, like, Lee Cantor kind of money to get a book out there? I mean, do you have to be loaded like that, or can an average guy make
it? Oh, it helps. Yeah. Without a doubt, it helps.
I could write a book on any subject, right? If you have enough money, right?
Yeah. It depends upon how do you want to get the book out there, how vast do you want the audience to be, how much time you have, and how patient you are, and how much money you want to try to make off of it. So it's obviously it's not one of those very simple answers. It doesn't exist. Because depending upon how you choose to be published, you can be published for free if a traditional publisher takes you on. But it's hard to get a traditional publisher to take you on. And then once they agree to publish your book, and it could be another 18 months to 2 years before it's out there. And then when they finally put it out there, all you get are royalties. And that's usually 8% on the first 1,000 books. And it's 8% on what they sell it for, not 8% on the selling price, okay, the market price. If you choose to self-publish, then you can self-publish just the number of books that you want at the time. And the beauty of self-publishing, especially if you really self-publish, as in create your own publishing company, mm-hmm. you can probably publish them for about $3.60 a book and sell them for $15 each. That's not a bad profit. And you can get it out soon, but then you have to do the distribution. So depending upon how much money you want to make and how soon you want it out there and how big a market you want it to hit, that's the determining factor. And you can spend anywhere from $1,000 on up to $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to get it published.
What's the reason that somebody would pick a conventional, traditional publisher over a self-published book?
Patience and profitability is what it comes down to, because it really is hard for a no-name author or first-time author to break into the publishing, traditional publishing world. There are mid-level publishing companies that are more accessible, and they accept what are called unsolicited manuscripts. It's the time factor there. Used to be, just as short as maybe 8 years ago, if you were self-published, you still weren't really an author. Okay, because anybody can self-publish. We're getting away from that now. A lot of the times people will now self-publish so that they can generate like 3,000 books in sales and then go off to a publisher and say, look what I did all on my own.
Oh, now, is that a valid strategy, self-publish with the idea of I'm going to prove myself and then use that as part of my pitch to the...
Exactly. How exactly. I had a client who did that about a year ago, 2 years ago. She came to me. I coached her through the writing of her book. She chose to self-publish. She published 1,000 copies. She set up her own marketing tour, advertising campaign, sold 1,000 of them, approached a mid-level publisher, and they took her national.
Now, is that a good target to try for, 1,000? Of self-publish, is that enough to get the notice?
Yeah, if you can sell it quickly. Now, 1,000 over a year is not too impressive, but if you can knock off 1,000 in 2 to 3 months, that's impressive.
Right.
That's impressive, yeah.
So how did you get in this racket? I understand that you actually came from the pulpit. Can you speak to that a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, I did. I was in ministry for 25 years, and then I walked away. I was tired of doing it. But curiously, while I was in ministry, I caught up with Janet. We hadn't seen each other for like 30 years, and there's no need to for a teacher and a student, you know, after you graduate. But we connected, and she looked at me and she said, Tim, have you ever written this kind of a sermon? And I said, how many? You know, because it was a particular kind. And she said, well, this a dramatic monologue. And I said, yeah. So what she had me do was I typed it up as a manuscript. It was my first manuscript, my first going-to-be book. Well, 13 years, 27 rejection letters, and 3 rewrite later, it became my third book. But we got started, and then, but Janet helped me to see that, yeah, I could be a writer. And out of that, then, my first book became Healing Plants of the Bible, which was a dissertation I wrote for a doctorate in naturopathy. And it got into my blood, and I really liked it. And then Janet talked to me more about writing and coaching people, and the rest is history.
So you do eat your own cooking. I'd love for you to tell us about this book, Writing Secrets, Essential Steps to Discover How to Start. Give us a feel for what's in that book and how someone can get the most out of it.
Oh, I like that question. The way you can get the most out of it is obviously to buy it, read it, and do and do what it says. I'm working on a workbook for it, but the big thing that I do with that book is I identify what keeps a lot of people from writing. We call it red ink syndrome. Remember your papers from high school? Essays, and if you went to college, you know, college comp.
A lot of red ink.
A lot of red ink. Yeah. A lot of red ink. And then I talk about that, and I help people make light of it and remember those monster stories that still keep us from writing. But then I go into how you set about finding what you want to write. And the big piece of what I do is I offer two approaches to help you identify the topic that you want to write on. And if you trust me and you trust the process, it will, in fact, help you come up with a topic. All of my clients who have come to me and have had 3-4 topics in mind, when they followed my process, they zero in. And the beauty of it is it works every time. So when you get your first book done and you want to write your second book, you go back, use the process, and get focused in and go again.
Well, let's get some real-world consulting here, and let's get back to talking about me, okay?
Oh, well, sure.
All right. Well, I self-published a book back in 2002, Never Fry Bacon in the Nude and Other Lessons from the Quick and the Dead. It was a book about personal and organizational speed. I did not have the benefit of counsel from someone like you. Mm-hmm. I threw my hat over the fence. I got lucky in some respects in that we did sell quite a few books, but not through, I don't think, the channels that you're supposed to. The people that bought my books were the people that were attending the keynotes or the people that hired me to attend the keynote. They said, okay, great. We'll hire you to do this. Will you throw in 300 books or how much will you charge me to also have a book for everybody? That's how 98% of my books got sold. you know, mom bought the other two or 300 and they're probably still in her garage.
There you go.
Well, here's my question. One, advice for someone that doesn't know any better than that. And then the second part of this question is, someone like me, is there a way to go back and revive or repurpose that book that's now, what, 8, 10 years old? I don't know, put a new foreword on it, incorporate a few new illustrations, and do a third printing? Let's speak to some of that, if you would.
Let's take your second question first. You can always revise a book. You know, the simple little thing is that came out, my book came out, I've found 5 typos in it. So when I print the next time, that's going to be my second edition, new and revised, because I'm going to fix those mistakes.
It's just like they used to do with the Tide, right? New and improved.
New and improved.
I like it.
So you can do that. But yeah, you can get an additional foreword put in. You can get some people to endorse the book who have used it. If you look at the first 2 pages or 3 of my book, I've got all kinds of endorsements from people who say this is the best thing since sliced bread. And
how important is that to get those blurbs, like from people saying how great it is? Is that super important?
Yeah,
if you're an author,
it helps. So you can get that kind of stuff done, or you can just add a chapter at the end of your book saying, "Here's what I've learned since I first published this book." And you add that, and you're good to go.
Nice.
You're good to go.
And that's a whole new book now, right?
Yeah.
It would have
And you would need a new ISBN number, and it looks really good.
Oh, there you go. Something to do this weekend now, Stone.
Now, do you need to hang with the same title? And here's why I ask this. I got a lot of counsel at the time. Never Fried Bacon in the Nude had some marketing legs for some constituencies. There was other counsel that said you ought to do something simpler that just talks about speed. If we're going to go down the path that we're exploring right here, do I stick with that title, or can I get away with going with a more streamlined title?
You could probably do both, and it really depends upon what you want to do. If you want to build upon what you've done, then it's new and improved. If you want, what comes to my mind is maybe you could do a dummy version. You know, this is whatever the title of your book was for the slow learner, or something like that. Okay. and then it's a new book, and you treat it as such. So, but if we go back to your first question, essentially, how do people get it out there? So many people really truly believe that they have the next best-selling book, and if you don't believe them, they'll tell you to ask their mother and their father and their boyfriend and their girlfriend. Fact is, 90% of books that are published every year, these are new publications, sell less than 300 copies.
Wow.
So you have to know that up front. Now, if you're going to self-publish, there are all kinds of books and guidelines and programs to help you get to where you want to be. Amazon can walk you through. You go to the Amazon website and click on the right prompts, and they will show you how to get your book listed with Amazon. And that's critical today to get anything out there. Another way to market your book is if you turn to the alumni association of your high school, college, graduate school, or whatever, and say, "Hey, I'm published. Spread the news."
Oh, I had never thought about it. That's a cool idea.
And then that works. People buy
it. You
really
hope
just because that you went to the same school.
That, or they can't believe that
you actually remembered this.
You when, and you wrote a book.
I went to college for 7 years. I got a lot of college
friends.
Right,
a lot of
that's a great. I love that. See, I mean, we look always get good ideas on this
exactly.
show.
And then you look at what are your natural connections? Are you promoting a particular kind of cause? If there are leadership institutes, and there are leadership institutes, you can contact them and say, "This is what I bring to the table. Would you allow me to have access to your email list or to your mailing list or anything like that?" So you look for those natural audiences and work with them.
Okay, so I can buy your book, but I get the sense that you could also offer a great deal of professional counsel on all the different aspects of getting the book together and marketing it. Is that part of what you do, or do you
strictly sell
the book?
My book is strictly about how to find your writing topic and how to get started. But all this other stuff, it's up here in my head, and I usually get the questions asked, and I just start. As you can see, I just click on, and we're talking.
So you can be a gun for hire to help someone through this entire process?
Absolutely. That's what we do. I can talk to you about What's the benefit? How do you publish, and should you go traditional? Should you do self-publishing? It doesn't matter which way you go. There are two things that are always the same. One, you have to do the marketing yourself.
So even if you have a real publisher, you still end up doing the marketing?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Not until you become the next Stephen King.
Oh, okay. So you're still on your own either way.
That's right. I'm setting up my own marketing right now. Or you hire a marketer to do that for you.
Right, but that's right. Not part of what you get when you get a publisher as a marketing budget.
Lead people to where they could go. The other piece is, regardless of how you publish, you still have to buy your own book. Even if you are...
Say what?
Yeah, if you're published by a traditional publishing company, again, unless you're really hot stuff, they're not going to give you beaucoup free copies. You have to buy your own from them. You're going to get a real deal. You're going to get a cut rate price, but you still have to buy. And of course, if you've self-published, you've already bought your books.
Right, right.
What's important about that, Stone, is when people hear that you're writing a book, they'll look at you and say, so when do I get my free autographed copy? And what I tell my clients to learn to say, and don't feel badly about it, you learn to say, I will sell you a copy as soon as I have, because I have to buy my own.
Uh-huh.
That saves your wallet.
That's a great idea. I will tell the audience, there is a shortcut to getting your own free copies of books. Lee, you know this. Host your own radio show.
Yeah, it's an unlimited supply.
We do, but barring that, one quick question. We do have to wrap up in just a few moments. Where do you stand on ghostwriters? Good, bad idea? What do you think?
First off,
I think he just answered it.
Yeah, people don't understand that ghostwriters are not cheap. Mm. Ghostwriters, a good ghostwriter will start at $20,000 a minimum, plus expenses. And if somebody offers to ghostwrite for less than that, I would probably run the other direction. Now, I have a colleague down in St. Simon's Island who does a great job on ghostwriting. But you've got to understand, just because somebody has an idea for a book does not mean that a ghostwriter can really develop it. So you have to understand what the ghostwriter is doing. What I do instead of that is I sit with a client and really get a feel for what he or she wants to have written. I create an extensive outline for the person to fill in the blanks, and then I tweak it. So that's my way around ghostwriting, because I don't want to ghostwrite.
So you give them the kind of the template, they fill in the blanks, and they go and do a draft or two, and then they bring it back to you, and then you kind of
polish it. That's right. It's really a collaborative effort, and I call it deep coaching as opposed to shallow ghostwriting.
But you can clean it up a little bit, too, for those of
absolutely.
Us that end sentences and of and all like that.
Well, it's interesting when you say that, clean it up, yeah. I don't know why it is, but a lot of people writing their book for the first time think that they write it and we publish it. No. We write it, we edit, we rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. You know, some of the big name authors out there rewrite their books 5 or 6 times before it's published. You've got to do that to have quality.
So your first draft isn't your final draft? Is that what you're saying?
Only if you're crazy.
Okay, I lied. I have one more question.
Yes.
E-book, is talk about e-book versus something physical that you can hold. Do you do both? Where do you stand on that?
My recommendation is begin with the hard, hold-in-your-hand book, and then create an e-book out of it. Or use your introductory chapter as an e-book as an enticement to buy the rest of your book and offer that one chapter on your website or something like that. But you know, you really today have to be mindful of, can I make an audio out of it? Can I make a workbook to go with it? Can I do an ebook out of it so that it becomes multiple streams of income?
Nice. Good advice. How can our listeners get in touch with you, get their hands on this book, and learn more about your services?
I like all of that. The easiest way is simply to go to the website, and that's www.write, as in W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. That's writechoiceservices.com. Can email me at Tim, T-I-M, at write, again, W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com, or call me at 678-464-6702.
before we let you go,
yes,
we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We like to ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career, and really, Tim, more importantly, what they feel like they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Oh, absolutely. It has to do with the second book that I wrote and published called Letters to My Sons, A Father's Faith Journey. And my boys had been asking me all kinds of questions about why I seem so different from other clergy. And so I decided to write for them. And I got out my seminary textbooks, I got out my notebooks, and I started writing, and I was feeling really great. And I got 50 pages into the manuscript and couldn't go any further. Could not go any further. And then it was as if this amorphous 2x4 whacked me on the back of the head and reminded me that I was writing for my sons, who were at that time 16 and 20. This was not to be a seminary textbook. So I started all over again, threw away 50 pages of manuscript, put away all my books, and said, going to write, if it isn't in my head or in my heart, it doesn't go on the paper. No more checking things out. Once I did that, and I had spent a long time getting to 50 pages, the book, the manuscript just sailed.
That's a good tip.
That's an excellent tip. And so be willing to just chuck everything and start over.
Absolutely.
And in most cases, you need to be coming from your mind and your heart, don't
you? I like to say you need to start about right there, you know, right around your throat area, because that's where the heart and the mind meet.